For today, featuring the Bible teaching ministry of Pastor Chuck Smith, founder of the Calvary Chapel Movement. This radio program is a chapter-by-chapter, verse-by-verse study through the entire Bible. And on today's edition of the Word for Today, Pastor Chuck continues his message, Paul Speaks to the Jews, as we pick up in Acts chapter 22, verse 1. And now, with today's study, here's Pastor Chuck.
So we turn in our Bibles now to the 22nd chapter of Acts. Pick up on Paul where we left him last week in that very dramatic moment. Paul, in spite of repeated warnings from the Holy Spirit, is returned to Jerusalem, where he has received a very cool reception from the church and a very stern reception by the Jews. For while he was in the temple, minding his own business, not doing anything to disturb anyone, going through the rite of purification according to the Jewish law in order that he might celebrate the Passover, not the Passover, but the Feast of Pentecost that year, some of the Jews from Asia, when they saw him there, were incensed because they had been following Paul all over Asia trying to undo the work that he was doing among the Gentiles. And they began to cry out, "Men and brethren, this is that fellow we've been telling you about, who among all of the Gentiles has been preaching salvation and all." And so the Jews grabbed hold of Paul and were endeavoring to beat him to death. And someone reported to the Roman guard up at the Antonio Fortress that there was a ruckus going on down on the Temple Mount. And the Antonio Fortress was actually a part of the Temple Mount area. It was at the northwest corner of the Temple Mount area. Steps came right down to the Temple Mount. And during the feast, they always had extra soldiers there because that was the time when people's emotions were apt to become inflamed and the time of rebellion against Rome. So they always brought in extra soldiers at that time. And so a captain of the guard with some of the soldiers came running from the Antonio Fortress down onto the Temple Mount, where they by force took Paul from the angry mob who were endeavoring to beat him to death. They bound him with two chains and brought him back to the steps of the Antonio Fortress. And as they were going up the steps, Paul said to the captain of the guard, "Would you grant me permission to speak to these people?" He was surprised that Paul spoke in Greek to him, and he said, "Do you speak Greek? Aren't you that Egyptian that led a rebellion here a while back?" Paul said, "No." He said, "I am a citizen of Tarsus, an important city." So he said, "Well, go ahead and speak." So Paul beckoned with his hand to the angry mob of Jews that had followed them on up to the Antonio Fortress. And standing there on the porch, he began to address the Jews. This was something that Paul had been longing to do ever since he found Jesus Christ. Paul felt that having an understanding of the Jew, being one, understanding their zeal, understanding their desire to persecute Jesus Christ, he felt sure that he could convince them of the truth of Jesus Christ. And so this was Paul's great moment, the moment he had been looking forward to, the moment that he had been pushing and pressing. I think that it is possible for us to just push our way into situations that the Lord hasn't necessarily called us into. There are some people who just have that kind of a tendency to just push themselves in to what they desire. I'm going to get there, you know, no matter what it costs, I'm going to do it. And so Paul is here. I don't know if he's here by the will of God or here by the will of Paul at this point. When Paul was on his way back to Jerusalem, the Holy Spirit was warning him not to go every place he would stop. He said to the elders at Ephesus, I don't know what awaits me, except I know everywhere I go, the Holy Spirit warns me that there are bonds and afflictions waiting me there. And when he came to the city of Tyre and met together with the church, there was a word of prophecy, and the Spirit again told Paul, don't go to Jerusalem. When he came to the house of Philip in Caesarea, Agabus, the prophet, came down from Jerusalem, one of the recognized prophets in the church in Jerusalem, took Paul's girdle and tied himself up and said, so is the man to be bound who owns this girdle when he gets to Jerusalem. And so they were trying to dissuade Paul from going, but he was determined. It would seem that perhaps even the Holy Spirit was seeking to dissuade Paul. I could not say for sure. It would be presumptuous of me to say, well, it wasn't God's will that he go to Jerusalem. But at least there is that possibility to consider. It is always a sad thing when my will is in conflict with God's will. It's even sadder when I push my own will over God's. Paul is standing there, though. This is his desire. This is his lifelong ambition. That is, Christian lifelong. And so we left him last week, beckoning with his hand to the people and a great silence coming over the people, and him beginning now to speak to them in their Hebrew tongue. To the captain, he spoke in Greek. Now to the people, he's going to speak to them in their Hebrew tongue. Chapter 22 begins Paul's impassioned plea to his brethren. Men, brethren, and fathers, hear my defense. The word defense in the Greek is apologia, and that is why the argument for the Christian faith is often called apologetics. It comes from this particular word, and you've heard of apologetics. It has its origin in this Greek word apologia that is used here, translated here, defense, which I make unto you. And when they heard that he was speaking in the Hebrew tongue to them, they kept even more silent, and he said, I am verily a man which am a Jew, but I was born in Tarsus, a city in Cilicia, yet I was brought up in this city at the feet of Gamaliel. Gamaliel was one of the highly respected Jewish rabbis of that day. In fact, probably the most highly respected Jewish rabbi of that day. The scripture mentions Gamaliel on one other occasion, and that is when in the early church history they were seeking to silence the witness of the apostles. And Gamaliel stood up and he said, now let's be careful what we do. You know, there have been other sects arise, and they dissipated at the death of their leader. Now that this leader is dead, it's apt to dissipate. So I suggest that we just let it alone. For if it is not of God, it'll just disappear. If it is of God, then we would find ourselves to be fighting against God. And so that sagacious advice by Gamaliel was followed by the Sanhedrin, which gave the church a bit more toleration in the proclaiming of their message in its very early history. Gamaliel has written concerning Paul as a student, and Gamaliel said of Paul that he had only one difficulty with him as a student, and that was keeping him supplied with enough books. That Paul was just a real bookworm of sorts, and as a student was an avid reader. And so Gamaliel's only problem was keeping him supplied with the books. And so Paul here speaks of his early training at the feet of Gamaliel. "And I was taught according to the perfect manner of the law of our fathers, and was zealous towards God, as ye all are this day." You see, Paul is seeking to identify with them and letting them identify with him. "Hey, men, brethren, I know what it's all about. I know your zeal for God. I was just in the same place you are. I'm a Jew. I sat at the feet of Gamaliel. And I persecuted this way unto the death," or those who walked in this way. "I persecuted them to death, binding and delivering them into prisons, both men and women. And also the high priest doth bear me witness, and all of the estate of the elders, from whom also I received letters unto the brethren. And I went to Damascus to bring them which were there bound unto Jerusalem to be punished. And it came to pass that as I made my journey and was come near to Damascus about noon, suddenly there shone from heaven a great light round about me, and I fell to the ground, and I heard a voice saying unto me, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And I answered, Who art thou, Lord? And he said unto me, I am Jesus of Nazareth, whom thou persecutest. And they that were with me saw indeed the light, and were afraid, but they heard not the voice of him that spake to me." In another accounting of this, it said that they did not hear the voice. And people then imagine a discrepancy in the Bible. There are a couple of Greek words employed. One is phoné, which is the phonetics, which is used here. They did not hear the phoné. That is, they did not, they heard the sound of the voice, but they didn't hear the phonetics. They didn't hear the words. They did not understand what the voice was saying to Paul. And that is what is being declared here. They heard the sound of the voice, but did not understand the voice that spoke to Paul. "And I said, What shall I do, Lord? And the Lord said unto me, Arise, and go into Damascus, and there it shall be told thee of all of the things which are appointed for thee to do." I think that here we have an interesting point that we should bring out again as far as the leading of God in our lives. And that is that God usually leads us just one step at a time. We brought this out when we were in the earlier part of the book of Acts, when Philip was in Samaria holding a successful revival, and the Spirit said unto him, "Go down to Gaza, which is desert." Didn't give him any further instructions until he got to Gaza, and then the Lord gave him the next step. We so often want God to spell out the whole thing. We're not willing to walk by faith. We want God to spell out the entire mission, tell us everything that's going to be transpiring all the way along, and I probably so that I can choose whether or not I want to do it. But when you are a servant of the Lord, you take the orders one step at a time, if that's the way the Lord gives them. When Peter was on the housetop in prayer at the house of Simon the tanner, And the Lord spoke to him and he said that there are men at the gate that have been sent for you. Now go with them asking no questions. The Lord didn't tell him what he was had in, you know, in store. That's all the further you get at this point, Peter. And God leads us so often, just one step at a time. But often I hesitate to take that first step. And I just continue to say, oh Lord, now show me your will. Oh God, I want your will to be done in my life. Well, God doesn't give us step two until we've taken step one. After you've taken step one, then God will give you step two. God said to Abraham, get out of the land of your fathers and journey to a land that I will show you. So by faith, Abraham left the land of his fathers, not knowing where he was going. Now that's real faith. God just told me, get out. Where are you going, Abraham? I don't know. Well, why are you leaving? Because God told me to leave. But where are you going? I don't know. Man, that doesn't make sense. Well, it does if you're a servant of God and you're getting your orders from him. He'll give you step two when you've taken step one. And so we must step out in faith. If God has given us step one, then step out in faith. Take that which you understand and know at this point, and when you get there, God will give you the next step. And he leads us step by step. The will of God is usually a progressive revelation to each of our hearts. It is a continuing progressive revelation. Now, I would prefer that God didn't do it that way. Because I don't really enjoy walking by faith. I trust much more in my intellect and understanding than I do faith. And so I would prefer that God would just lay the whole thing out in advance. So I'd know each step and each, you know, turn that was going to come in the road. But God hasn't seen fit to lead me that way. He just says, go to Damascus and then I'll show you there, you know. Take step one, then you will receive step two. The progressive revelation of God's will to our lives. Because God wants us to walk by faith. For without faith, it is impossible to please God. So, arise, go to Damascus, and there you'll get step two. It'll be told you what is appointed for you to do. So when I could not see for the glory of that light, this brilliant light blinded Paul for a period of time. I was led by the hand of them that were with me, and I came unto Damascus. And there was a man by the name of Ananias, who was a devout man according to the law. He was just like you guys. And he had a good report of all of the Jews which dwelt there. So Paul is building up Ananias now. He's not some renegade. He's a man who was devout and of good reputation among the Jews there in Damascus. And he came to me and he stood and said unto me, Brother Saul, receive your sight. And the same hour I looked up upon him. And he said, the God of our fathers has chosen you that you should know his will and see that just or that righteous one. Paul saw Jesus there on the road to Damascus. Paul, as he is giving the list of those who had seen the resurrected Christ, talks about his appearance to Mary, then to the disciples, then to over 500 people at one time. And then Paul said, and finally, unto me as one born out of due season. And when he is giving his proof for apostleships, or for the right of being called an apostle, he said, have I not seen the risen Lord? Ananias said, God has chosen you. When Paul is writing his letter to the Ephesians, And he begins in chapter 1 after his opening greeting. He begins saying, "Thanks be unto God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in Christ in heavenly places." The top of the list of Paul's thanksgiving list to God for the wonderful things that God had done, for all of the spiritual blessings he had received, the very top of the list, Paul put, "having been chosen in him before the foundations of the world." That headed the list of Paul's thanksgiving and probably should be the head of all of our list if we really understand what it means to be chosen of God. Now here Ananias is declaring this to Paul. God chose you, Paul. Jesus said to his disciples, "Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you." So Paul, writing to the saints, declares that we've been chosen in him before the foundations of the world. You see, if the Lord didn't choose me, then everything else would be totally wasted. How grateful I am that God chose me.
We'll return with more of our verse-by-verse Bible study in the book of Acts on our next broadcast as Pastor Chuck continues to teach through the Bible. And we do hope you'll make plans to join us. This message has been provided to you by the generous supporters of the Word for Today. For additional information about how you can support this ministry, please visit us online at thewordfortoday.org. There you'll find free message downloads from Pastor Chuck, as well as links to our podcast and other resources to help you grow in your Christian walk. You can also call us at 1-800-272-9673, or you can order a physical copy of today's message by mentioning Acts 22. Again, that phone number is 1-800-272-9673. Our office hours are 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. Pacific Time. If you prefer to write, our mailing address is P.O. Box 8000, Costa Mesa, California, 92628. Join us again next time as Pastor Chuck continues his verse-by-verse study through the Bible. That's right here on the next edition of The Word for Today. And now, once again, here's Pastor Chuck.
May the Lord cause His Word to be established in each of your hearts and lives. And may you grow in grace and in knowledge of Him. And may He, with His cords of loving kindness, just draw you unto Himself, that you may ever experience a richer, fuller, deeper comprehension of that love that God has for you, His child. In Jesus' name.
If this less than perfect world has robbed you of joy and filled you instead with fear and worry, you must learn the secrets found in the book of Philippians. This intimate letter written by Paul while in prison is full of riches available to every Christian. In the Word for Today resource, Philippians Bible Study, follow Kay Smith as she takes you on a verse-by-verse discovery of the truths that enabled Paul to worship in shackles, rejoice in persecution, and walk joyfully through life's darkest places. You can order this book at twft.com or by calling 1-800-272-9673. I'm your host, Kathy Parrish. Thanks for listening.
Little country church on the edge of town. People coming every day from miles around, for meetings and for songs. It's not the way it used to be.
This program is sponsored by Calvary Chapel of Costa Mesa, California.